Hello, my name is Nicholas Morgan. I'm an editor at Aval News, and this is Turkey Abroad. Joining me today is Dr. Hamid Reza Azizi. He is the Alexander von Humboldt Fellow at the German Institute for International and Security Affairs. Dr. Azizi, welcome.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, what I'd like to talk about Turkey and Iran's relationship today. When Iran's foreign minister was recently in Turkey, they said that Turkey wanted to see the United States return to the JCPOA, the Iran, otherwise known as, the Iran nuclear deal. And over the years, President Erdogan at least was opposed to sanctions being passed against Iran, and that were put back in place by the Trump administration as part of their maximum pressure campaign. And the Turkey was keen along this, at the same time, was keen to try to reduce at least the energy imports that we're getting from Iran, even if publicly they were vocal against the sanctions. So, since with Turkey's comments there on how they would like to see the US return to the JCPOA, what is it that you think that they would like to see from a renewal of this agreement?
Generally speaking, it could be said that unlike some other countries in the region, for example, the Arab countries of the Persian Gulf, Turkey is really in favor of the revival of the nuclear deal or JCPOA. At the official level, as you just mentioned, this willingness to see the revival of diplomacy between Iran and the United States has been publicly, emphasized by the Turkish officials. But at the actual level also, I think for at least two reasons, Turkey would benefit from the revival of the JCPOA. The first reason is that despite actually these kinds of long-standing competitions or rivalries between Turkey and Iran in the region, any kind of possibility for instability in the region or a war between war or military conflicts between Iran and the other countries has been, a point of concern for Turkey. There's a clear reason for this, because Turkey is Iran's immediate neighbor, and in case of any kind of instability in Iran, which could result in kind of weakening control of the central government, there would be a serious risk for kind of a spillover of instabilities into the Turkish territory. Donald Trump's policy of maximum pressure not only increased the potential of instability in Iran, but also by sparking kind of a growing escalation, especially in the last months of Donald Trump's presidency, between Iran and the United States. It actually, increased the possibility of a war or military conflict in the region. So for this reason, I think the revival of diplomacy between Iran and the United States would serve Turkey's security interests, actually. The second reason is economic reason. And it's again related to this Donald Trump's policy of maximum pressure, because it severely hit the economic and trade relations between Turkey and Iran. Of course, the decrease in the level of economic relations between the two countries was harder for Iran, because Turkey was one of the few avenues, if you can say, for circumventing the sanctions that Iran had before Donald Trump, at least. But this maximum pressure actually closed that window. But on the other hand, that issue had implications for Turkey as well, because, for example, it had to reduce the amount of natural gas imports from Iran, and also some of Turkish banks and financial institutions were also hit by sanctions. So these are the two reasons for Turkey to be in favor of a kind of diplomatic track. This is not to say that Turkey is not concerned at all with regard to a kind of diplomatic track between Iran and the United States. As I mentioned, the two countries are rivals in the region. And so if the removal of the American pressure and the sanctions results in a kind of improvement in Iran's situation in a way that Iran could pursue an even more active foreign policy in the region, that could be a kind of potential for Turkey. For this reason, although the Turkish officials do not say such a thing publicly, but I think that some other countries in the region, they are also they also want to see a kind of so-called more comprehensive agreement with Iran that would include Iran's regional activities as well. So to put it briefly, I think Turkey's view toward this issue is a mixture of hope and fear, maybe.
It's also kind of interesting because I spoke to a few other analysts before here on Turkey Abroad about who spoke about this dynamic between Turkey, Iran, and the United States, and most of them have said that they don't find they didn't believe that Turkey, at least in the last few years, particularly after the coup, served as a particularly active member of what they saw as the anti-Iran camp that the U.S. was investing a lot of diplomatic energy into building up, such as the Arab countries or Israel, especially. And they were basing that just on the fact that they've cooperated together in the past, and then, of course, Turkey's own bad relations with some of these countries, which we'll also get into. But do you think that Turkey can or will play any active role when it comes to seeking a renewal of this agreement between the JCPOA?
It's a good question. Actually, during the whole period of this nuclear crisis between Iran and the West, since the beginning of the crisis in the early years of this, century. There was this kind of willingness from the Turkish side to play a role in solving this issue. At a point in 2010, for example, we all remember that there was an agreement between Iran, Turkey, and Brazil with regard to the nuclear issue. But of course, because of the lack of participation and lack of support from the Western side, which is supposed to be the main party, it led to nowhere, actually. In the current situation, I don't think that Turkey has this potential to play a kind of independent role in reviving the JCPOA or facilitating kind of dialogue between Iran and the United States. This issue is something that should be solved, first and foremost between Iran and the United States. On the other hand, as you just mentioned, because Turkey itself has had some a kind of uneasy relationship with the United States and also with some European countries over the past several years, this fact actually deprives it from the ability to play a kind of a role of a mediator or whatever, like the role that Oman did, for example, in the period, right before signing the JCPOA. So I think the only thing that Turkey can do is expressing diplomatic support, nothing much more than that.
There's another element to this that I've spoken again with a few analysts before in the past, and that is the impact of Israel's normalization with some of the Arab countries, including UAE, Bahrain, Sudan, Morocco so far. This is something that the Trump administration was, of course, very, very eager to trumpet, to be able to broker these or at least facilitate them. And the Biden administration, through the new Secretary of State onward, they have made clear that, they would like to see this trend continue. And some of the conversations I've had have been that these normalization deals have also been just as much about Iran as they have been about Turkey, and how Israel and some of the their Arab neighbors view the two of them. So given the poor state of relations, at least between, that Turkey and Iran both have with these countries, how do you think that has really changed in any way the perception or relationship between Turkey and Iran? Do you think it's had any impact?
Of course, actually, this issue of relations with the Arab countries and Israel has always been a very important factor impacting Iran's relations with Turkey. I can put it this way, that any time that Turkey's relations with, with the Arab countries in general, especially the GCC countries and also Israel has been good or in a positive situation, in positive conditions, Iran has faced more pressures in the region and vice versa. For example, in the beginning of the Syrian crisis, Turkey and the Arab countries, despite their differences, were actually in a kind of unified front, and Iran was on another front with Russia and the Syrian government. However, after the intensification of these agreements and differences between Turkey on the one hand and Saudi Arabia and the UAE on the other hand, Tehran and Ankara actually became kind of closer together. And that was reflected in the establishment of this Astana process, for example. The Qatar crisis and Iran's support for Qatar, actually that kind of similar position of Iran and Turkey in supporting Qatar was also important, also affected relations between Tehran and Ankara. However, it seems that at the current moment, all the countries in the region, Turkey included, are trying to kind of adapt their foreign policy to the post-Trump era. For example, that agreement between GCC countries to end their diplomatic dispute. Also, Turkey's the more positive exchanges between the Turkish and Saudi Arabia's officials, and also the recent steps taken by Turkey and Israel to somehow revive their relations, they can all be seen within this context. Actually, Turkey during Trump era, Turkey has a kind of freer hand in the region. For example, in Syria. But it's expected to face more difficulties and more challenges, at least under Biden. Arab countries of the region have kind of similar concerns. So I think everything depends heavily on what kind of approach Biden administration will actually take, toward the region and especially toward its relations with Iran. I think in case there is a kind of successful diplomatic opening between Iran and the United States, there's a serious possibility for Turkey, GCC countries, and Israel to get closer and for us to see once again this kind of competing fronts in the region as it was 10 years ago or so.
We spoke about this a little earlier, where Turkey and Iran have also had quite a long history of rivalry as well in the region, whether it's in Syria, where I think it's probably the most pronounced, or maybe elsewhere where they might disagree, like in Nagorno-Karabakh in the South Caucasus. And they, of course, do seem to be pursuing very separate strategies in each of these areas. Doesn't seem to be too much coordination or too many alignment of interests between them in each. But before we go into either one of those, I'd just like to ask, where do you see the limits of this cooperation between Turkey and Iran? Is it just, say, realpolitik that holds them together in the same way as it does with Turkey and Russia? Or is there something else that we should keep in mind?
Well, I think the nature of Turkey's relations with Iran, or to say the nature of Iran-Turkey relations, is quite different from Turkey's relations with Russia, or even Iran's relations with Russia, because Iran-Turkey relations is based on very strong social, historical and cultural pillars. There are millions of Iranian Azeris in Iran who see Turkey, also Azerbaijan, of course, as brotherly countries. You know, Turkish music, Turkish TV series, and also Turkish products have always been quite popular in Iran. You know, also. There's this very strong historical elements. Hundreds of years ago in the Safavid court in Iran, Turkish language was used alongside Persian, and also that was the case in the Ottoman, the Ottoman court at some points. But on the other hand, since this Treaty of Zuhab, or as it's called in Persian, Qasr-e Shirin, in 1639, there hasn't been any kind of war or military conflict between the two sides. So we can even say that the history of peace between Iran and Turkey is longer than the history of the overall history of some countries in the world. There's another factor that although both countries see themselves as, I mean, they are actually Muslim countries, but they see themselves somehow different than Arabs, and also they are seen by Arabs as being different. Despite all these kinds of rivalries, the citizens of the two countries have always been able to travel visa-free to each other's countries. So I said all of these things just to mention that it's much more than politics. I mean, politics has always, been full of ups and downs, but social and cultural relations have been in place. Mm-hmm. So just briefly, to put it very briefly, I think this is not real politics that holds this relationship together. But real politics actually, prevents the two countries to become as close as they can be, you know.
Yes.
So this is my viewpoint, actually. So this is very different from the case of Russia or any other country.
That's a really interesting point. To put it like that, in this relationship, it's able to it goes a bit further beyond politics, of course. And as you mentioned, it how the real politic actually could in effect push them apart from each other. You know, it brings to my mind at least. Say the situation in Syria where, they are on opposite sides. I saw that you wrote about how when the last campaign in Idlib began last year around this time between Syrian government forces and the Turkish proxies, Iranian militias, or at least Iranian-backed factions, actually took part in this campaign against Turkey. And of course, Iran was pretty vocal against Turkey's Peace Spring operation a few months before that. And then I also saw you wrote separately about Iran's strategy in parts of Syria that occupies like Deir ez-Zor. How is it that they view each other's kind of respective approaches, at least in Syria, where Iran's got one project of its own going on in a part of the country, and then of course Turkey's pursuing another one in the northern regions along its borders?
Well, actually, yes, of course. Syria has been maybe the main point of contention between Iran and Turkey over the past several years. I think, you mentioned a very important point, I think. Last year when Iranian forces, Iran-backed forces actually, started to participate in the Idlib campaign. That was very important because before that, there seemed to be a kind of at least tacit agreement between the two sides not to interfere in those kinds of, zones of influence or whatever we can call it. They've been vocal, criticizing each other with regard to their policies. But at that point, when Iran started to get active in that area of Syria, there was a real possibility of a military confrontation between two sides in Syria. So at this point, I think there are several factors preventing a kind of escalation between the two sides in Syria. A very important point is, of course, the current situation, which has resulted in a halt of all military activities in the region. On the other hand, as far as the northern parts of Syria is concerned, Russia and Turkey has managed to somehow deal with each other in a way to keep the situation stable. So I don't see in the, at least in the short-term perspective, any kind of any possibility of a clash. But again, here comes that factor of adaptation of policies with the post-Trump era. Because if this process of Turkey, Arab countries, and Turkey-Israel normalization goes, in a kind of successful way, there might be, as I said, a kind of new front against Iran, and that might be reflected, first of all, in Syria, and that will, of course, result in a kind of more complication of the situation in that country.
And along with Syria, the other one I think I'd like to get your comment on is also in Nagorno-Karabakh, where, of course, Turkey very strongly backed Azerbaijan through the conflict. And right now it's subject to a truce that was brokered by Russia between Armenia and Azerbaijan. How did Iran view the course of that conflict and Turkey's role in it?
Well, actually, for example, as we saw after the war, there were still some kinds of reactions from the Iranian side with regard to the role of Turkey. And we saw that when President Erdogan recited a poem in Baku, which was which sparked criticism, harsh reaction from the Iranian side. So that was actually, I think, a good kind of example, a good reflection of how Iran sees its position in the period after the Karabakh War. Because since the beginning of the war, actually, Iranian political elite and the public were kind of polarized, I would say, on how Iran should react to that development, to the war. On the one hand, there was a group of people arguing that because of religious and cultural considerations, Iran should take side with Azerbaijan. The pressure posed by Iran's ethnic Azeris, which we saw in the form of kind of public gatherings, for example, in support of Baku, was also a very strong factor, I think, pushing the Iranian government further towards that direction. The second group was, the second group were people arguing that Baku retaking Karabakh actually would be a negative development to Iran in geopolitical terms, because it would mean an increasing Turkish and also Israeli presence in the South Caucasus because of all the news that we saw with regard to Israeli drones being active in Karabakh, etc. So these were the two main camps and two main views towards the Karabakh issue. The Iranian government, of course, was aware of all those concerns and it shared the concerns of the second group. But at the end of the day, apparently, because of the role of the ideological factor and also Azeri pressures, all these kinds of things, and also the economic considerations with regard to its relations with Baku, it decided to actually support Azerbaijan's position in the Karabakh War. But at the same time, there was a strong belief. I mean, that wasn't kind of a very comfortable situation for Iran, as you mentioned. There was a strong belief in Iran that the recent war in Karabakh was, in fact, Erdogan's initiative, not Aliyev's, and that Baku would never start a war without being confident of Ankara's full support. So this was mostly seen as a kind of matter related to Turkey more than to Azerbaijan itself. Thus, a small reference by Erdogan to Iran's Azerbaijan, the Azerbaijan provinces of Iran, was enough for the Iranian government to see itself first, facing a heavy wave of public outrage from those who were against Iran's support for Baku, and also to believe that the worst case scenario with regard to Erdogan's ambitions in Iran's neighborhood is going to happen. So that's actually how Iran viewed the whole scene. So maybe that kind of reaction even was a kind of, I mean, maybe Iran overreacted to the issue. But when it comes to Nagorno-Karabakh, Iran is of course concerned that the Turkish growing influence in that region would come at the cost of Iran's influence.
There's just one question I'd also like to ask you on that note, since we mentioned Erdogan's speech in Baku and the reaction that came out of it. I wrote on this before around that time about the reaction inside Iran, for instance, when there were protests outside the Turkish consulate in Tabriz, and how many were taking the reaction as a fear of what they called pan-Turkism, taking some route inside the area, and that would inspire separatism. And of course, some of Erdogan's coalition partners, they were taking particular umbrage with even Iran reacting badly to that speech. But do you think that there is any real fear of separatism, or do you think it could have been just more of a little bit of an overreaction of sorts?
No, it's. I don't think it's. It was related to the separatism issue, not primarily at least. It was mostly about, as I mentioned, Iran's concerns about Erdogan's, as they say, expansionist ambitions or whatever they call it. So because it was for years, it was evident in Syria, and then this whole thing in Karabakh happened. So it just kind of increased the level of concern on the Iranian side. That was the main reason, I think. The regional aspect played the main role in that reaction.
Yeah. Hamid, it was great to have you on today, and I really would like to go into this topic further, of course. But I really hope that you decide to come back on down the line, and to stay in touch.
Thank you so much, of course.
My name is Nicholas Morgan, and this is Turkey Abroad.
You can follow Ahval News Online podcast series through Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Podcasts, SoundCloud, and Spreaker. All you need to know about Turkey is here, for your ears, mind, and attention. Thank you for listening to our podcast.